We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. He has had lots of windshield time crisscrossing the state, listening to constituents and discussing the state budget and what it will do. We thought it's a good time to check in now that he's 6 months into office. What questions do you have for the Lieutenant Governor halfway through his first year in office? What do you want to know? What issues do you think the state should be working to address? Have you met the Lieutenant Governor or heard him speak at an event this year? What follow-up questions do you have? We're at 800-642-1234. Mandela Barnes is the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin and a former state representative from Milwaukee. Lieutenant Governor Barnes, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. It's always a great time to be here.
So you're 6 months into being Lieutenant Governor. Is the job what you thought it would be?
So it is more than I thought it would be, and I mean that in the best way possible. It is a very exciting time getting to travel the state, experience some new things that I hadn't had the chance to before, and getting to meet a lot of new people with a lot of bright ideas, people who are really working to move the state forward, who aren't even involved in government, people who are involved in whether it's private industry, working in an environmental sector, whatever the case may be. It has just been a fantastic time getting to put out our message at first about the budget and now doing some follow-up also around the budget and just collecting more ideas from people. That's how we want to govern. We want to make sure that it's in the interest of the people, and you only do that when you have conversations.
Well, speaking of environmental, when you came into the job, you talked about focusing your attention on climate change and environmental issues like lead pipes in Milwaukee. How has that been going?
Yeah, so the first step we wanted to take in that regard was with the state budget. And in the budget was the creation of the Office on Clean Energy and Sustainability to help focus our efforts to get us to help us get towards our carbon-free goal. And also there was money for research so that we can, come up with the latest innovation when it comes to clean energy research. There were other provisions to make sure that clean water was a priority. And unfortunately, those things did not make it through the Joint Finance Committee. So now, after that's all said and done, we're still working with agencies and state government to still be able to get us towards that goal. We're also going to be working with some local elected officials who signed on to some version of Paris Climate Accord to make sure that we can assist them in their efforts, because there are some cities who are already doing the hard work but could use a little bit of help from the state. So I've been taking the time to meet with local elected officials in my travels to discuss the best ways that we can make Wisconsin more green and create a sustainable state.
Let's bring in a call now. Mark joining us from Black River Falls. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I first want to thank you for being there. And the reason I'm calling is I am interested in knowing what a person can do to get a rural internet access better. Because currently the situation I'm in is where 10 megabytes per second were shown to be available, but it's not consistent, and it's not to the point where it's even worth paying for. And that's my question. What can a person do?
Mark, thanks.
Yes. Yeah, thanks a lot. And that was a concern that we heard over and over again, whether it was at the budget listening sessions, we heard health care, we heard about clean water. We also heard about rural internet access. And we want to be able to partner with, again, local government, because it's going to be different in every part of the state. And I don't think there should be one overarching way or one overarching, delivery service for internet in more rural parts of the state. So that's why it's important for us to be able to provide those resources. And could it be in the form of grant funding? Yes, possibly. But there's money in the budget as well for rural broadband internet access.
We're catching up with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes halfway through his first year in office. What questions do you have for the Lieutenant Governor? What issues do you think the state should be working on? Share your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Lieutenant Governor, earlier this year, you visited a high school career fair in Milwaukee, and it was a few miles from the high school that you attended growing up. Did that event cause you to reflect on your own career path since high school and where you've come from?
Oh, always. This is actually a middle school college fair. I think that was Rufus King Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anytime I'm in Milwaukee, anytime I get a chance to interact with children who are in the school system, it always makes me immediately think about my own past and what opportunities I thought or did not think were available to me at that age. And I don't recall really meeting any politicians. I actually remember meeting Tom Perry when he was in Congress when I was in middle school, but didn't have a chance to, you know, talk with him. He spoke to us as a group. So I think about that. And I find a certain responsibility, a certain sense of responsibility when I talk to those children so that they know that this is possible for them as well. Because there isn't always someone who's going to come here and say, hey, you can run for office one day. Or it may be said, but if that embodiment isn't there, I try to make that connection and say, I actually sat in that same desk. I walked in these same streets as you did. This is possible. You can do this. You know, if you're passionate enough about changing your community, if you're passionate enough about doing the right thing, you can be in the same position, if not even an even higher position.
And you're the state's first African-American lieutenant governor. You've been traveling so much, meeting with so many different people. Have you ever felt treated unfairly or differently because of your race?
So not necessarily in the travels, you know, we have our issues here in Milwaukee as well. So it's less of a difference, especially when the conversation starts. Now, we do have our issues of race in Wisconsin that we have to address. Mostly systemic, all systemic. But the fact is, we deal with a lack of experience in Wisconsin, where people haven't always, had a chance to experience different cultures. You look at, some communities that are somewhat more monolithic than others, they don't always have that opportunity to interact with someone who doesn't look like them, someone who doesn't worship as they do. So that's what I feel is also important about the administration, and what I also felt was important about the campaign is that we begin to have deeper conversation, begin to have more dialogue, especially, are able to get media outlets and we're able to talk about information and talk about how issues impact everyone in the state, regardless if they understand it or not. I think it's a great opportunity, and I can't say that there's been a very specific instance where I felt that I was treated different in my travels because of race. Like I said, this is about that opportunity to broaden people's horizons.
Last month, you had made headlines over unpaid property taxes, and you walked away from a TV interview clearly frustrated about that question. Can you explain what you were frustrated about?
Yeah, very frustrated because I was told that we were going to be talking about Juneteenth Day. As you know, 2019 is the 400th anniversary of the unlawful arrival of enslaved Africans on the shores of Jamestown, Virginia. And, we're still facing some very significant barriers as a result of only being free for just over 150 years in America. And I talked about that in my Juneteenth Day speech. And it's a special holiday. And I felt like the day was totally disregarded by the reporter when she told us that, we were going to be talking about Juneteenth Day. And this script was flipped after the statement was already made about the property taxes. Especially, it was a thing where, I actually just got a letter right after the story broke about the property taxes being delinquent. So the fact is, you find out the tax was delinquent, I paid them. And the check had been sent in, and she wanted to badger me about an issue that I already made a statement about and was totally unfair, especially in a very insensitive time to do it as well. And that's the feedback I got from a lot of people, and that's a lot of folks' frustration with the media and how people are can be treated unfairly. And I just think it was very poor taste.
Do you think that the state's lieutenant governor or any appointee or lawmaker should receive a higher level of public scrutiny, regardless of, when they delivered that question, than the average person or government official?
I think it depends on the issue, too. Okay. I think the fact is, being late on a bill, it's not like I was years late. It was a couple months. Like that was, and a lot of that is due because travel, not being home a whole lot. And it's not like you can avoid property taxes. If you don't pay property taxes, you're going to get your house foreclosed on it. I don't think anybody wants to ever lose their house for that low of a sum of money. So it was obviously not anything that was done in malice. And if you get penalties, you just pay the penalties. Like that's the thing about it. It was such a simple issue. something that was actually what I see is a non-issue. I could see if I was avoiding altogether, or I could see if I was somebody who was trying to cheat on income taxes. That would be much, much different. But this is just like somebody being late on their any sort of bill. And the fact is there are too many people across the state of Wisconsin who can't pay their bills. And that's one reason why I decided to run for office, because we have to make this a state where everybody has a chance to get ahead. That means increases in the minimum wage. That means increasing high-paying job opportunities for folks all across Wisconsin. So a story like that is frustrating, because it's one that is a simple, you overlook something simply and turn into a much bigger deal than it ever should have been.
Well, let's bring in a call now, Linda in Pewaukee. Hi, Linda. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Yes, I wanted to ask, starting in July and running through October, in northern Wisconsin, bear hunters with hounds will be running their hounds on bears, putting out millions of gallons of bait, and chasing down bears, young cubs, mothers. And in the process of this has already happened recently, in two bear hounds have been killed by wolves. And the hunters that take their hounds out to engage in this activity are eligible for a reimbursement of $2,500 per hound that is killed. And I would like to ask the Lieutenant Governor if he thinks that this is fair, this is reasonable. That
and Linda, we're going to get a response there on the other side of this break. We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He stays with us on the State Capitol Report. You have a line, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes 6 months into his time in office. He's been on the road a lot, talking with constituents at press conferences, signing ceremonies, and explaining the governor's priorities in the recently signed two-year budget. So what do you want to tell the Lieutenant Governor about the new budget? How will it impact your life? What should the Evers administration prioritize? Join in at 800-642-1234, and the Lieutenant Governor stays with us. Let's go back to Linda's question there, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, about dogs and being killed during bear hunting and the use of taxpayer dollars there. What are your thoughts?
And so I remember a few years ago when that first came up, it was a very controversial issue, and it feels like, you know, it's one of those things that should be really examined, really re-examined, in a way it feels like, you know, these dogs are being used as fodder. And, along the lines of some animal cruelty issues there as well. That's something that should definitely be discussed, something that should definitely be challenged. It doesn't, you know, just listening to it, the way she explained it, didn't sound like that is a... It doesn't sound like the right way to go about things, but like any other issue where I'm not fully, I would love to talk more, if not to her, I'd encourage her to reach out to my office. We'd love to start some dialogue on that.
Linda, thanks for the call. Let's talk about the new budget. What was your role throughout this year's state budget process?
Yeah, so during the state budget briefings, when we were crafting the budget, I had a chance to sit in those meetings with the governor, with the governor's staff, with the budget team, and I was able to, you know, provide some input, especially on issues that I had been working on as a legislator, issues of some pay leave issues that we got into the budget, and it was marijuana decriminalization, which is another thing, which was a piece of legislation that I authored while I was in the assembly. That made it into the budget. I got to, you know, give my input, and it was considered as anybody else's input around the table. And that's ultimately, again, how we were able to come up with the bridges that we came up with. It was about getting perspectives from different people. And it all started, again, from our budget listening tour, from our budget listening session, where we talked to people all across the state. We took their ideas. We cobbled them together, and then we framed it, we shaped it in the governor's conference room over the course of a couple months.
Well, let's bring in Jeff now, joining us from Superior. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Good morning. I have written the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and I also had a letter in our local newspaper in Superior talking about funding Wisconsin State Park. We had a storm 2 years ago, and repairs have still not been made to the state park. Minnesota suffered the same fate of the same storm, and they've already repaired Jay Cook State Park. And Patterson's Park seems to be neglected. I documented my observations there earlier in the spring, and I'm wondering how you feel about funding the state parks, and is the budget for the Patterson State Park, is that public information?
Jeff, thanks for the call. What can you tell us, Lieutenant Governor, about state park funding?
Our state park system is a gem in this state, and thank you for bringing that up, because if we aren't protecting our state parks, if we aren't repairing the damage to our state parks, then we lose out on a lot of tourism. We lose out on opportunities for our children to recreate. We lose a lot of opportunity for our adults to do the same. So I want to thank you for bringing that up, because our state parks should not lie in ruin, because they are the envy of so many other places around this country. And the budget is public information. If you reach out to my office, ltgov@wisconsin.gov, we can get you the information about how to access what the budget for that park is.
Let's bring in Joan now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Three things that I'd like to mention, and thank you, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, for all that you do. I'm really grateful that Governor Evers has funded more money for K-12 and for the university system. Education is the future of our state and the citizens of our state. The third thing that I wanted to mention was the funding of the maintenance of our highways. Without funding our highways, without maintaining our highways, tourism has no future in this state. For 8 years, Scott Walker refused to fund highways, or he couldn't figure out how to do so. So I'm really happy that we're moving in the direction of that funding. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Joan, thanks. And did you see, Lieutenant Governor, a compromise on transportation, because the governor had wanted a different direction?
Mm-hmm. The governor wanted a more sustainable direction for highway funding. And like we said, at the budget address, this is a down payment on our priority. It's not about us not getting all that we wanted. It's about the people not getting all they called for. So that's the unfortunate place that we're in. However, there is forward movement, whereas for the last 8 years, all you saw was kicking the can down the road. You saw a lot of infighting that led to funding of our roads being stalled. So we're in a better place. We're not in the best place. And also, in addition to road funding, we need to make sure that we're looking at other transit options, we are working to expand mass transportation. Regional transportation should be a part of the conversation, making sure that, you know, communities have more accessibility for bike lanes, for walking paths. This is the moment where we should be exploring all options, and we should be thinking much more broadly. And so I want to thank her for her call, and I'm happy that we are beginning to move in the right direction. Won't be satisfied until we actually get there.
The budget approved by Republicans would have placed spending limits on your state patrol security detail, which has been costing more than under your predecessor. Governor Evers vetoed that item from the budget. Did you support his veto?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you look at the cost for security. I've been around the state a little bit more. There's been more work being done. And, you know, I feel singled out. That was the thing. I felt very singled. I felt like it was a very direct political attack from Republicans in the Finance Committee, who are frustrated that we are getting across the state, spreading our message, and calling out their files. And to the extent that we can get as many places as we need to be to not just call out their files, but to talk about a positive plan to move the state forward, I guess it doesn't sit well with some of them. And if they can limit attempt to limit the ability of you getting across the state to spread that message, that was their way of attempting to do so.
So with the state budget completed, what are the administration's top legislative or policy priorities now? What are you working on inside the governor's office now the state budget is completed?
Yeah, we now have to develop a legislative strategy around health care, around criminal justice reform, and continuing still on the issue of sustainability, of environmental stewardship and clean energy technology development. That's where our priority issues will be, because this is how we work to create jobs in the state. It'll be essentially the same priorities as the state budget, just a different strategy, just a different direction, a different route to get us to where we need to be.
Do you see room for Democrats and Republicans to work together on legislation or shaping these policies?
I definitely think there's room. Again, if you look back 2 years ago, the state budget was still being delivered. And that's when Republicans had total control of every branch. And now that we have shared government, the budget was delivered and signed on time. And I think that for at least the next year and a half, there the opportunities to work together, to come together, to solve our problems are there. And we've shown our willingness to make sure that happens. It is up to legislative Republicans to not be to not engage in the same old political games that have been going on for a lot of this time since we've been in office. People are calling for change. People are calling for us to do the right thing, to do right by communities, to do right by this state. We owe it to them. We're ready to get to work, and we Republicans are also ready to get to work.
Well, Lieutenant Governor, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Mandela Barnes is the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin and a former state representative from Milwaukee. Just ahead, we're hearing about a song that honors Wisconsin and was based on three unpublished verses by Bob Dylan. The video for the song was released last week. It went viral, and it features dozens of Wisconsin leaders. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.